because God can't use you where you're comfortable. Somebody say amen. All right? And so God tends to use people who get out of the boat, right? And who try to walk on the water just like Peter did. And you say, well, Peter sunk. Yes, he did. But who was there to lift him back up? It wasn't your pastor. It was Jesus. And so we need to learn how to get out of the boat and live out of our comfort zone so God can use us. Amen? Also, for the last couple of months, we've been talking about the vision of the church and where we fit in the church. Sometimes, you know, you come into a church and maybe a first time in the church, maybe you're not even a believer, and you're like, where in the world, how can I even fit into a church? You know, I don't know anything about God. I don't know anything about going to church or what to do, or should I kneel, should I sit, should I do the thing? What do I do, you know? I don't know what to do. And so at New Freedom, we teach you how to be a part of the body of Christ and how to use what talents you have for the glory of God. God's not interested in professional people. He is interested in willing people, right? Willing people. And I don't know if you knew this or caught this, but when Mary walked up here, God is giving you an opportunity right now to be a part of the body. Amen? When she says, I need this, 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 and this, God is saying, now is the time to be a part of the body. Now is the time to help construct, to help with lighting, to help with building of props and all those different things. Well, that doesn't sound spiritual. Trust me, it is. Because it's about our obedience to the Lord to say yes. Amen? And so I encourage you to talk to Mary as soon as this is over and go, Mary, I know how to cut. I know how to saw. I know how to paint. I can get it all over me, but I can paint. I can do lighting. I can do this. I can sit in there and wrangle kids if you need me to. But support Mary, because listen, you heard what she said. What did she say? This is a way out of my comfort zone. So she's right in the middle of God's blessing. She's right in the middle of what God wants her to do, and that's being out of her comfort zone and saying, God, I have this amount of talent, but I'm going to do it because I want to bring glory to your name. Amen? All right. Well, this morning, I want to do one thing before we get started, one more thing, and that is, if we have any veterans in the house, would you please stand this morning? We want to honor you. Veterans Day is coming up on Tuesday, and if you're part of the military, we want to honor you this morning. Jerry, what's the matter with you, boy? Stand up. You're in the Army, aren't you? All right. Listen, we want to honor you and thank you so much for your service and what you have done for this country. You have made it possible for us to gather together without fear for our lives to worship a God that changes our lives. Amen? And so thank you so much for putting your neck out on the line for us. And what we want to do is this morning, I want to pray over you and pronounce a blessing upon your life. All right? So let's pray, and we're going to do that. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for these three men that have put their lives on the line, that are even still enlisted and are willing to go off into foreign lands and to protect what you have established here in this country. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for what they have done and what they are doing. And Father, we pronounce a blessing upon their lives. We ask, Father, that you would bless them. God, that everything that their hand touches, you would bless. Father, we pray for all of our servicemen and women all around this world that are away from their husbands, that are away from their wives, that are away from their children. And Father, we ask that you would comfort them. We ask that you would be there emotionally for them. We ask, Father, that they would sense your presence so strongly that it helps them, Father, deal with their homesickness. I pray, Father, that you give them wisdom. I pray, Lord, that you would keep them safe. And Lord, we ask that you would beat back the enemies of the United States of America by the young men and women that are serving, giving their lives for the cause of freedom. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give them a hand this morning. Appreciate you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. fine. Absolutely. Do we have a mic?
Test.
Morgan has something that she would like to share.
My stepbrother died.
Morgan's and Nate's stepbrother, Isaiah Hunt, passed away 10 years ago. He, I believe, might have been the first serviceman in the area that died in Iraq. And it'll be 10 years this week. So if we could keep his mom in prayer and the family this week as they go through this step, that would be amazing. Thank you.
We also, if you'll stay right there, we also have our former pastor here, lost his son Justin in Iraq as well. And so they are struggling as well, especially during this time of year. And would you, Janelle, would you pray? Would you pray over those families that have lost their loved ones?
Lord God, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you never leave us or forsake us, that you are constant. You are the Alpha and the Omega, Lord God. Nothing is a surprise to you. Lord, for whatever reason, these families have had to take this journey. But you are with them, and you are with us. We praise you, and we know that you will. I just pray that you will bless these families and comfort them this week. Comfort them this week, Lord God. You know the struggles that they have. You know the joys, but the deep hurts. And you can heal them and give us ways to support them and to let them know that they are not alone. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. It's very important that we take time to honor the men and women that sacrifice daily for our freedom, and honor the moms and dads and the husbands that have given up, and wives that have given up loved ones for the cause of freedom. And so when you think about it, especially if you know someone that has lost a loved one in battle or war, if you would, send them a message, send them a card, call them, say, thank you so much for what you have done for freedom. I appreciate it. It will go a long, long way. And I know that most everybody in this church knows Ron and Debbie Ross. And you're probably Facebook friends with them. So Facebook them. Tell them thank you. Thank you so much. We're praying for you as you think of Justin today. All right? All right. Listen, today I want you to turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're going to go through 13 through 15 today. And for the next 3 weeks or so, I'm not sure. Usually in a sermon series, I have it kind of lined out how many weeks we're going to go, but I'm not sure. Three for sure, but we'll see how far we go. We're going to be talking about the issue of sin. And I've entitled the message, "The Cancer of Sin." And here's the thing. You say, "Pastor, how in the world are you going to talk about sin for 3 weeks? Really? Come on. I mean, let's be happy in here, all right? Let's talk about how to have a blessed life. Come on now. You know, let's talk about how to pray and see God change things." Well, that's part of it. But listen, if we don't deal with the root of this cancerous thing called sin that is devouring our country, devouring lives on a regular basis, devouring, you know, we were in a marriage builders conference yesterday, Friday and Saturday, and they gave some statistics about pornography, and it said that between 40 and 50% of people in this country struggle with pornography. Not only that, but it's higher in the church. There may be some of you here in this church right now, in this building, listening to me right now, that is struggling with pornography, struggling and trapped in this sin. Today, I'm going to provide a way out for you. I'm going to show you a way out for you. And that is through Jesus Christ. And I know, hey, listen, that sounds, well, that's simple. That's too easy. It wasn't for Christ when he died for you. He paid a hefty price so that we could live in freedom, so that we could live free from condemnation. How many of you guys have ever been under condemnation before? Raise your hand. Yep, that should be about every one of us. Condemnation is something that provides no way out for you in your life. There's no hope. There's no joy. There's no ray of sunshine. There's no light. There's no way pointing. This is the way out. All it does is presses you down and condemns you over and over and over again, providing no hope whatsoever. And so today I want to talk to you guys specifically about this thing called sin. So let's look at it together. Is everybody there? James, I better get there myself. James chapter 1, 13 through 15. It says this, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desires, he's dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that the culmination of prayers that I've been praying all week long will come out of my mouth clearly and concisely, so that people will see the harm and the destructive nature of sin. And I pray, Father, that you would touch each and every heart and each and every spirit here today. I pray, Father, that, Lord, as people are dealing with their sin, not if they're dealing with their sin, but as they're dealing with their sin under the sound of my voice, God, you would bring conviction and you would provide a way out. Father, we thank you that you provided the good news for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, today, I want to talk to you about this. Sin is it's a small word, but it is powerful. It has a powerful punch. Sin, it's a small little word, three-letter word. But man, it carries a powerful punch. It is deceitful, it's destructive, and it's full of anguish. It crushes strong men, and it completely obliterates intelligent women. Every person that it touches, it completely destroys. It has been victorious over all humanity except for one. It's caused wars, starved nations, and unleashed unmerciful violence upon the earth. It has packed courtrooms, increased hospital admissions, messed up marriages, broken friendships, and abolished fellowships all over the world. This thing called sin. The root of all sin doesn't start with the devil. It starts with our dark hearts. Amen? Our tendency is to deflect blame. Our tendency is to put up a smoke screen, to deploy countermeasures, right? It's not me, it's the devil that made me do it. It's not me, it's my job, it's my spouse, it's my this, it's my that, it's the other. And we're deploying countermeasures instead of dealing with the root issue, and that is the heart of ourselves, our dark heart. You see, a lot of us, we treat sin as this. We try to do behavior modification instead of dealing with the root of all of it, and that is our heart. Because see, we can say, well, you know, I've been a believer for 5 years, but I still have the foulest mouth on the face of the earth. Every time I get mad, my mouth is unleashed and it lets out a tirade of profanity and blasphemy. 5 years. But it's because of my job. It's because I'm in an impossible situation and I'm a hothead anyway. And so this is my outlet. But I ask for forgiveness at the end of it. See, the Bible says that we are to not to give mercy as a license to sin in our life. And we do that so often. I'm not pointing a finger at you. I'm pointing it right back at myself. Amen? Because every single one of us, the Bible says, we're born into sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It goes on to say that there is none good, no, not one. That means that on our best day, when we help an old lady across the street, when we help someone change their tire, when we feed the hungry, when we put shelter over somebody's head, that's still on our best day. We're still not good. That's stout, right? This is not a hallelujah message. I get it. I understand. But because I'm your pastor and I want to be obedient and I want to speak to you a balanced gospel, not just prosperity, not just blessing, but the cause of sin erases all of it. Amen? Sin has completely and obliterated the best of us. It caught up with Abraham. It busted David, didn't it? David was trying to hide his sin feverishly. You guys all know the story. I mean, David did something that was so unspeakable. This guy that's called God's best friend, a man after God's own heart, David killed somebody. He committed adultery. He should have been at war in the springtime along with everybody else, but he was kind of in a place. How many of you guys have ever been in a place you shouldn't have been? David saw a woman bathing on her rooftop. He looked at that and instead of looking away, he kept pondering it in his head. Then he justified it. He called forth one of his servants and he said, "Bring me her." This wasn't just some woman. This woman had ties to a friend of David's. And David slept with her. And out of that, she became pregnant. And so David was like, "Oh, okay, what am I going to do here? All right, I'm going to go get the guy." He told one of his generals, "Listen, pull him off the front lines and bring him to me." He brought the guy in, the husband of Bathsheba, and said, "Listen, I want you to go home and be with your wife. You deserve it. You fought long and hard. You're one of my best guys, and I just want you to go home, eat, be merry, be with your wife." And he said this. He said, "How can I go and enjoy the comforts of my home when my brothers are out there giving their lives for you in this country?" And Dave was like, "Oh, man, really? All right, well, come on in my house, and let's eat, let's drink, let's have a good time." He said, "How can I do that?" And so instead of doing what the king said, he slept in the doorway. And so David had no other choice but to get out of this by killing him. And so he wrote out a command to his generals and said, "Put him on the front lines so that he will die." And so he gave it to the man and said, "Take this to your general." That doesn't sound like a man after God's own heart. That sounds like a man that should be on death row. Amen? Sin catches up with us all. It busts every one of us. What it did to Samson as well, it completely and literally blinded him. Literally blinded him, his own sin. Be on alert, be on guard, because sin must be dealt with in our life. James gives us insight into the spiritual terrain. In order to deal with sin, we need to understand the origins, its nature, its process, and its conclusion. So let's take a look at it. Look with me at James chapter 1, verse 13. Let's break this down here. It says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." So here again is our tendency. We like to blame shift, right? We like to to shoot off those countermeasures. But notice in the text, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. Although we see in Genesis 22, verse 1, God did tempt Abraham. But the allowance or the testing of our faith is not a provocation or a stirring to action to sin, but a provocation to surrender in our life. God does not tempt us in the sense of provoking to do wrong under any circumstances. Look at James 1:14. Look at it. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Who's dragged away? We are. We are dragged away. James has revealed the true source of temptation. God is not the tempter, but man in his own source is his own source of temptation. Now, notice it says each one. Each one of us is provoked to sin or tempted with someone inside of us. It's not God that tempts us. It's us. It's not the devil. It's us. It's not our environment. It's us. It's not our spouse that tempts us. It's us. It's not our children. It's not our circumstance. It is us. Amen? So when we get down, if we're truly serious about breaking habits in our life, breaking circumstance in our life, we have to deal with first things first, and that is us. It's not about dealing with our neighbor. It's not about cursing our neighbor. It's not about toilet papering their yard. It's not about all of those different things. What we must deal with first is our dark heart. God, change my heart toward my neighbor. Not God, change my neighbor. But God, change my heart toward my neighbor. God, change my heart toward this circumstance. Father, help me. Forgive me for what's coming out of my mouth. And people say, you know, well, it's just words, Jimmy. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never harm me. Right. But the Bible says this about our words. That whatever is in our heart comes out where? Our mouth. It comes out of our mouth. What we say, blessing and cursing, comes from here. The power of life and death, right here. Not in our neighbor, not in our circumstance, not in our environment. Here. It starts with us first. We have got to deal with the evil and the sin that resides within our life first. Now, the original language here is, it's interesting. Look at the phrase, I don't know if it's up, put the scripture up there, dragged away. Wow, that's kind of descriptive, right? Dragged away. It's a picture of a fisherman or a hunter trapping its prey. It means to draw out or lure forth. Sin is intentional. It's not by happenstance. It's intentional. So, man by his lust is lured from the safety of self-restraint to sin. Sin is almost never an instant thing. Instead, it's a slow fade in our life. There's a Christian band called Casting Crowns. They have a song that's called Slow Fade. Here's some of the lyrics. It says, it's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white is turned to gray. When thoughts invade, choices made, a price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. Daddies never crumble in a day. Families never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. It's a slow fade. In my life, church, I make it hard for me to fail morally. That's not to say I don't mess up, that I don't sin, because I do. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you your pastor is without sin, because the Bible says if he who says that you're without sin is a liar. and the truth is not in you. But I can tell you that I put people in my life weekly that challenge me. Pastor, what have you looked at this week? What have you put in front of your eyes this week? What is some of the things that you have paused on that you should not have paused on? He's not fault-finding. He's keeping me accountable. Amen? He said, I never dreamed it when I built this prison that I would be, that I would one day by my own doing be confined by it. And see, that's the thing. We get so busy with building our lives, making our own decisions. What we don't realize is that we are brick by brick building the very prison that will confine us in our sin. And there is only one person that can set us free, and that is Jesus. Knowing and understanding what draws you is very important. Can I get an amen? Knowing and understanding. See, it's amazing. We want to know all kinds of stuff, right? We live in a society where at the click of a button, we could find out any information that we want to, right? I used Google like 6 times already today. Looking up lyrics and tweaking my message. That's my thing on Sunday mornings. I tweak my message. I add this and that to it. So I was on Google 6-7 times already today. We can find out anything that we want. We're curious people. But when it comes to our own hearts, we want to be as completely ignorant as we can. So that we can have plausible deniability in our life. Right? So that we can deny as much as possible. Well, I didn't realize that was going to be sinful. I didn't realize that was going to affect my marriage. I didn't realize that was going to cause me to be addicted. And we're ignorant about our own ways. But knowing and understanding what draws you is very important. When you know what draws you, then you're in a better position to pray through. Always remember, the primary problem isn't your environment, again, but it's our own dark heart. In order for you to change, your heart must change. Your spirit needs to be renewed. Your mind needs to be transformed. Your focus needs to shift, and your identity needs to be transformed. Amen? James 1:15 says this, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. The indulgence into sin is always terminal. It has been said, one who has a light view of sin never has great thoughts of God, because God hates sin. James says, after desire has conceived, in other words, when lust has arrested you and seized you, something is going to be brought forth from this. Amen? Sin is conceived and bred from within us. It's an offense, a violation, a trespass. It does not end with conception and birth. Sin continues. James says, sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. It brings forth death in our lives. So, the outcome of sin is death, and the result of sin is death. Paul said the wages of sin is death. Amen? In other words, there's nothing good that possibly can come from our sin. There's no redeeming factor about our sin, because the wages of it thereof is death. You know, if there was an instantaneous effect of sin like death, or our arm falls off, I think we'd pay more attention to our sinful ways, right? You know, our hair falls out, some limb falls off, then hey, we're going to pay more attention to death. But see, that's why I said that sin is this. It is a slow fade. When black and white has turned completely to gray, and there's no clear bounds any longer, a slow fade. When we give ourselves away to sin, We give ourselves away to the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. It's a slow fade. It goes on to say at the end of that, it says, daddies never crumble in a day. Families never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. A slow fade. So, I painted a pretty bleak picture of what sin is. But there's a solution. We need cleansing from our corruption. We need redemption from our ruin, right? Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly." Everyone knows John 3:16, right? "For God so loved the world that" what? "He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." But how many of you guys know John 3:17? "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." See, that's why the gospel is translated as the good news. That we were condemned in a court of law. Our hand was caught in the cookie jar. There was no explaining it away. There was no, well, the other person made me do it. Our hand was in the cookie jar. And a judgment was about to be pronounced on our life. But in walks Christ and says, "Judge, I will take the penalty for him. Whatever the judgment is, I take it upon myself. You can go. You're free." Jesus did that for us. That's why it's called the good news. And that's why when sin entered the world, it entered the world through one man and it spread through all humanity. And when sin entered the hearts of man, it was individualized to each and every one of us. Sin does not care what nationality you are, what body size you are, what hair color you are, what family you came from. It is out to simply kill, steal, and destroy your life.